Father, we come to you today. We know that healing is your will. We know that healing is something that you brought through your Son and is now available through your Son and, of course, through your Word. And so we pray today, teach us again the value of your Word, Lord, as a healing agent that you want to use in our own lives at every level of our being. Teach us the value of your word, not just to escape hell and to be saved in the sense that one day we'll be with you, but that your word actually, through your Holy Spirit, your word is the agency through which you make us whole. Take now your word, use it in our lives, and enable us individually to apply your word as it would apply to our situation. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I think we all know the value of the Word of God. And those of us who have come to know the Word of God have certainly been transformed by it. If we haven't, then we haven't come to know the Word of God in the way that we should know it. We may not be everywhere we want to be yet, but we have been transformed by the Word of God. The Word of God, it says in the passage that we just read and also that was read earlier, is living and powerful. And there is nothing else like it. You know, some people think the Bible is just a book or whatever. Let them think that. But the truth of the matter is the Word of God is living and powerful because it is His Word and it is the agency through which He has chosen to work. He brought the worlds into being by His spoken word. And He said to His people when they were in the desert with Moses, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so Jesus, we know, quoted that scripture to Satan when He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. And so it really is. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is the most powerful agency that He has on earth. And it was, of course, God-breathed at the beginning, and it is still God-breathed in that when we read it, the Holy Spirit is there present to actually make it come alive and do its work. It is effectual. God's Word actually changes people. How many believe that? So if you believe that God's Word changes people, then we shouldn't have any trouble believing that God's Word, among other things, is an agency that He uses to heal our hurts and to heal us in places that we can't even reach. And so I just want to just share a few thoughts about that today. I had no idea when I put this message together that my own wife would be in the hospital overnight, you know, about a day later or whatever. So this is not tied in any way to anything that's going on in my own life or in the life of anyone close to me. It is just simply what the Lord gave me for the time. But His Word is powerful. His Word is alive, and He does use it. And I want to, the reason we chose these two verses is I think they show two facets of how the Word of God works healing in our lives. And sometimes if we understand these things, if we understand a little bit how they work, it can benefit us because it can make us just better able to know how God does this thing and maybe to even realize at certain points maybe what He is doing or what we are blocking Him unwittingly from doing through some attitude that we have or something like that. But let's just some general observations here real quick. Number one, and this is for those who like to do the notes and fill in the blanks. Number one, God's Word is the most powerful healing agent on earth. I would venture to say that more people have been saved. In fact, everybody that's saved is saved in some way by the Word of God. More people have been saved. More people have been rescued. More people have been restored More people have been healed mentally and emotionally and physically through the Word of God than through all the doctors and all the medicines put together. The Word of God is a powerful healing force and healing agency in the lives of people. And I don't know if we've ever understood it that way, but it's not the, you know, but wholeness. Salvation means wholeness. The Greek especially, sozo, it means completely whole in every way. Not just rescued from hell, just not lost and on the way to perdition, but now whole in every way. Think back to the Garden of Eden before man ever sinned. Was he not whole in every way? And on the day that man sinned, that wholeness went away, and man has not been whole since that time. However, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made whole again. We are made whole spiritually, instantaneously. And then through his continued work of his Holy Spirit working in us through his word. That is why it is so important to continually expose ourselves to the Word of God. I tell people, you've got to give the Holy Spirit some fodder to work with. And the Word of God is where he works. So get into and read the Word of God. You say, well, there's parts I don't understand. I'll tell you like Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street, said, don't worry about the part you don't understand. Worry about the part you do understand. Because there will be parts that will speak directly to you. I am sure this has happened to any of us that are in the Word of God regularly, or sometimes even from time to time. How many have opened a verse and it hit you and you knew right then that verse was for you right then? How many of it's happened, right? So anyway, God's Word, it's there. We need to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. You're not going to give the Holy Spirit something to work with watching the evening news. You're not going to give the Holy Spirit something to work with playing a video game. You're not going to give the Holy Spirit something to work with reading some romantic novel. I'm not saying that any of those things are evil, but those things do not give the Holy Spirit anything to work with. But when you begin to read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is there. Unless you've barred him, he's there. And especially if you've said, Lord, I'm getting ready to come to your Word, speak to me through your Word now, and will he do it? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit is there. The Word of God is alive, it's active. And as we take in the Word of God, now the Holy Spirit can become my teacher. He does not, I just now thought of this, but the Holy Spirit doesn't do his teaching without a textbook. Gotta have the textbook. And then the Holy Spirit can teach me. And as I read it, he'll begin to show me what it means and how it applies. And that's when the change begins. And so, yes, God's Word is the most powerful healing agent on earth. Number two, God's Word is powerful because it gets to and deals with the source of any issue. That is exactly why standard counseling is of limited value. Now, I'm giving you my own personal opinion. I'm not saying it's of no value. It is of some value. But it cannot deal with root causes. Only the Word of God can deal with root causes. There were people being delivered from alcoholism decades and centuries before anybody had ever heard of a 12-step program. What did people do before there were 12-step programs? The Word of God set them free. I know a man right now in Mans Harbor, North Carolina. He is in his 70s. He is a preacher of the gospel. He was an absolute down and out. Back then we called him alcoholics. That's what he was. Or drunks. That's what he was. And the Word of God came to Mans Harbor, North Carolina. He received Jesus as Savior. He was transformed. He was instantaneously set free from alcohol, has never had a drink to this day, and has become a servant of the Lord carrying his word. I have personally met individuals that were bound by drugs of different types, heroin or cocaine or whatever, and they have been set free by the power of God through nothing more than the preaching of the word. We used to tell the young men in that program that I was a volunteer in down in Puerto Rico. We would tell them, sin is your problem. That is what has got to be taken care of. Drugs are not your problem. If you get off of drugs and you don't really have an experience with Jesus Christ, all you are is a sinner that's still on your way to hell, and you just don't happen to do drugs right now. Because sin is the root of it. And when you get rid of the root, you get rid of the fruit. Hallelujah. Have I started preaching yet? God's word will deal with the source. It will get right down there. It will tell you what your psychologist will not tell you. It will tell you what other people think and are afraid to tell you. It will tell you what you already know down at the very bottom of your heart, but you won't admit to it. But how many know that when you go to the doctor, you've got to have a diagnosis before you can have a treatment? And that's where some of this message comes in today. But it will get to the source. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It gets down there. You do hear them talk about layers, right? Oh, yeah. God's word knows where all the layers are. Sometimes we think we're healed of something, and then something else happens, and we realize there's another level. There's another level there that we haven't even dealt with yet. We thought we were done with it. We thought we were healed. Well, we were healed of some of it. But then something happened, and all of a sudden we realized that there was another layer lower than that layer that we hadn't even dealt with yet. And the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing these things around. But until something is named, how can it be addressed? Until something is identified, how can it be addressed? And that is one of the ways that the Word of God works in my life. And when the Holy Spirit brings to light in my mind and in my heart certain attitudes that are not pleasing to Him, certain actions or thoughts or motives that are not pleasing to Him, He is not doing that so that He can put me down and call me a worthless nobody. He is doing it so that I may realize what the problem is, so that it can be extracted and so it can be taken care of and so I can be whole, because as long as that is there, I can't be whole. And He will tell me the truth even if it hurts, so I can be made whole if I'll let Him make me whole. And this is what the Word of God does. It uncovers all this stuff. Subconsciously, that might be one reason why some of us don't spend more time in the Word of God. Because you know about willful ignorance? We may not want the Word of God, you know, working at us in that level. Who knows? You know, the mind is a funny thing. But God's Word will get to the source, but that is precisely why it is so effective, because it will go where nothing else will go. And it has power and ability that you will not find, because God's power is there then to address the need. That's the good news. Number three, general observation. Sin is at the root of all sickness. Healing, both spiritual and physical, have been secured for us through Christ. Now, what do I mean when I say that sin is at the root of all sickness? Let me ask you two questions that I think will clarify this. Was there any sickness in the garden before Adam and Eve sinned? Will there be any sickness in heaven? All right. So, consequently, sin is at the root of all sickness. I don't mean by that every single ache and pain and malady or thing that is in your body is directly because of something you yourself have done. I don't mean that. But I just mean that the earth is imperfect right now. The earth is under a curse right now. And things do happen right now because we are in that climate. So at least indirectly, all sickness can be traced back to sin. And of course, Jesus came to take care of that and at the same time to take care of the other because the two are tied together. He came to make me whole physically, spiritually, and in every way. Number four, regular doses of God's word will do us better than any medicine. And we just need to get regular doses of God's word and stay in the word of God. Let me tell you just a couple testimonies that I myself have come across over the years. Some of you, I think I referred to this once before, some time back, but a Reverend Dr. Charles Ludwig, who was the son of missionaries in Africa, Kenya, Africa. They were there from the 1920s until about 1960. He wrote that book, Mama Was a Missionary. The book was written in 1963. It became a paperback in 1972. And somebody gave me that book and I read it, and it was just so entertaining and interesting and everything. And his mom was a really, really strong personality. You know what I mean? But I read a little comment on her this week on the net, and it said, it wasn't so much that she was stubborn or intentionally stubborn. It's just that she was positive God had spoken and nobody was going to budge her from that position. And so she felt that God wanted them to go to Africa as missionaries, and her husband was a farmer, and he didn't think so. So she finally persuaded him to put the house on the market. So he put it on the market at the very highest, most unrealistic price he could think of. And when the time came for him to go, somebody wanted it so bad, they paid it. But another thing I remember reading there is these folks were Church of God Anderson. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of that, but let's just say these are not Pentecostal or charismatic folks. These are not folks that have healing lines and pray for the sick. However, between the time, I guess, that she was felt the call or whatever, and they left for the field, all of a sudden, as I recall, she was paralyzed from the waist down, and she wound up in the hospital, and the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And what I remember from that book is, he said she took her Bible, she opened it at Matthew, she read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is what some of us did here between January 1st and Easter. And every time she came across a healing, she highlighted it. And as she read, her faith grew. God healed her miraculously, and she walked out of that hospital. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, God's word is a powerful thing. I saw a little old lady on one of these Christian interview shows here sometime in the last couple years down in North Carolina somewhere. She had such a spirit of fear binding her that she became a recluse. She became one of those little ladies that never opens the door, never opens the blinds, never goes to Food Lion, never goes anywhere. She had such a spirit of fear binding her. But somewhere in there, she began to get regular doses of the Word of God, and she just began to take massive doses of the Word of God, and she was reading the Word of God, and she was coming across those promises, and she probably was underlining those too, or marking them, or whatever, and through that, God totally delivered her, and today, she has a ministry to people with those kinds of problems. This isn't the identical same thing, but there was a man, Gerald Durstein, who in Sarasota, Florida, and my older brother Preston co-pastored with him for a few years. And in his younger years, he had a speech problem. He stuttered pretty bad. And he read Isaiah there, 53, where it says, "By his stripes we are healed." And he decided that for the next indefinite period of time, he was going to verbally confess that to everybody that he met. And he did that for 30 days and stammered every time he said it. But by his stripes I am healed. And on day 30, he said it and didn't stammer and never stammered again and became a minister of the word. God's word has healing power. Number five. Now it's where we come to the correlation here. This is maybe the most important one here. Sometimes God's word has to cut before it can heal. And we need to be open to that. That's how this sermon came about. I was reading this verse, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And then I was thinking of that other verse in Psalms. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." And so here we have the word of God as something that cuts and penetrates. And over here we have it as something that brings healing and wholeness. But the two are not opposed to each other. The two work together. And then I began to think of what today we call surgery. And so when the surgeon, you go and you're diagnosed and he says, "You've got a tumor inside of you. You've got this or that inside of you. It needs to what? Come out, does it not? Because as long as it's there, you're not going to heal." Is that not the purpose of most surgery? Something either needs to be removed or it needs to be repaired. But in order to do that, the surgeon has to cut. And in the cutting, we get to the site and we get to the place. And when the surgeon is in there, he is able to see what is going on and what needs to be fixed or what needs to come out. How many have ever been to the hospital and you've heard the surgeon say, they say, "Now, doc, how long is this surgery going to be?" And he'll say, "Well, it depends on what I find when I get in there." Have y'all ever heard that? I hear that a lot because I'm sitting with people that are going into surgery. And so after I get in there, depending on what I see, I'm going to try to go ahead and take care of everything while I'm in there. And then, so it might be 2 hours or it might be 4 hours, depending on what I find when I go in. And how many have ever heard of exploratory surgery? Y'all ever heard of that? We're going to go, Roy Anders says, "I've heard of it." And they go in and they want to know what is there. But the cutting. So today, who knows? They were in a Roman culture and everybody knew about the two-edged sword. Today, it might have said as sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. And you can't get much sharper than that, can you? But the point is, God's word, oh yeah, in a certain capacity, it will cut. But that's not a bad thing. We say, "Oh, but I don't want to be cut on." Oh, of course you don't want to be cut on. None of us want to be cut on. But if we want to get well, we had better let the man do his cutting as long as he knows what he's doing, right? I used to have a couple guys that traveled with me on this Monday morning visitation we do, and they would volunteer to operate on people and stuff. But nobody ever took them up on it. Because I don't think they thought they knew what they were doing, you know. But if the man knows what he's doing, we've got to. Now, when we go under, they give us a what? Anesthetic. I'm sorry to tell you, the Holy Spirit doesn't always give us an anesthetic when he does his cutting. But let him do his cutting. Because if we understand that until that, whatever that may be, comes out, we're not going to heal. It would be just like saying to the surgeon, I want you to heal me, but I don't want you to operate on me. Sorry. I want to be well, but I don't want to swallow that pill. Well, that's not the way that it works. But thank God he's got a scalpel that if we let him, he will get right down to what it is. And sometimes we haven't even known for sure what it is until the Holy Spirit reveals it through the Word. So first, of course, is when that light goes off. So, Lord, you're telling me this is what it is? Yeah. Then we've got a decision to make. Is it okay for him to take it out? And if so, then he'll do it. And then, when he closes us back up, guess what? The healing can take place. And we will not be bothered with that particular thing again. This very week, I won't name any names, but this very week, someone shared with me an issue that they had in their lives and that God has been working in them through his word, and that which had been a real issue, I'll name it, anger, is no longer an issue to speak of. And it has been God who has done that through his word. So what is it? Like I say, a lot of times we kind of know, but we don't really want to know. But if we say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever your word takes me, do your surgery, do your thing, then the Holy Spirit has permission to start delving. And this isn't all the time, but from time to time it's needed. And when it is, nothing else is going to get the job done. But God's word will get the job done. Amen? It will. Number six goes without saying, really. Medicines work when they are applied or assimilated. You either rub it on, or you swallow it, or there's some type of actual application, and that's when the medicine works. God's word is the same. So, the Lord will use his word, and just, again, just in the regular course of our scripture reading, if we always come with an open heart, you know, and say, Lord, show me whatever you can show me. Yeah, the Lord will show us some great and some wonderful and some marvelous things, but he will also show us about ourselves. But the reason he does that is because he loves us, and His word really is a powerful, powerful, powerful source for healing. And he wants us to be whole. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today for your holy word. We thank you that your word is sharp and it is powerful. And it is able to penetrate right down to the place where the issue is. Lord, I pray as your people that as we read your word, on the one hand, we'll take courage in all of your promises and all of that, but that's a great encouragement to us to lay hold on the promises and that we will do that. And then, as you also sometimes bring conviction by your Holy Spirit, I know when the Holy Spirit brings that conviction, it's because he wants to free us of that. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll work in us that way. And that as these things are taken care of, we'll just exhibit more and more the Spirit of Christ in our lives, that it would be the Lord Jesus, Father, working through us in our daily attitudes and in all these things. And, of course, also, Lord, knowing that not only do you heal us this way, but then after you've done that, then you can help us to help somebody else who may be going through something very, very similar. So, Lord, help us to never shy back and say, Lord, please don't go there or whatever, but Lord, to allow you. And of course, you'll do it when we're ready. But Lord, just help us to be willing. Help us to be willing for you to do what you desire to do. Your word, I know one thing, your word will always do its work if we will allow it. So Lord, give us such an open heart that there will be no resistance to what you desire to do. That's our prayer today. Take your word. Use it in our lives for healing, whatever type of healing that might be. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.